Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Only Podcast. I am your co-host, Austin Smith, joined as always by your other co-host, John Kirby. You can find us on Twitter at ACSmith06 and at John_Kirby. And as always, follow the mothership at The Only Colors. Today is Friday. Happy Friday, July 31st. And I guess another day, another five star, John. Is this even fun anymore?
Oh, it's very fun. I won't lie. You know, I will, before we jump in on all that, I want to sing a little bit because they're happening. The NBA is starting now. And great. As you mentioned, third straight five star in the past 30 days. So for me, I got to drop a little basketball.
Basketball. Give me the ball.
It is.
Because I'm going to dunk it. If you're not familiar with that reference, you just need to go to YouTube and type in Tim Robinson basketball and enjoy. You'll have so much fun.
And, you know, if people forget, Michigan State is a basketball school. And mm-hmm. Tom Izzo.
We've said it once. We've said it a million times.
Hell-bent on reminding us that this isn't a second wind. This is like a second hurricane coming from the wizard, Tom Izzo. I don't know why I did that. It just
felt, I love it. Just keep going.
Thanks. I can't get behind what he's doing more. I don't know how he's doing it. Frankly, don't care. And love the idea of finding ways to make this isolated pandemic bearable. And
overall, I would call it an overall bad time.
Tom,
that's pretty much how I defend it or define it.
Continuing to get it done for me. And he does it again, lands five star. Enoch Bouache, a Canadian number one prospect and class of 2022 with potential to reclassify. Let's talk about him, man. This guy is he's a man already.
Like, full grown man. I think it's honestly, I'll put it this way. I read an article, I think it was on Spartan Mag, that defined him as the type of big that Michigan State has been swinging and missing on for the past, call it, 7 years. You know, you look back, the Vernon Carys of the world, even like a Caleb Swanigan. I know there's other big men that are skipping my mind, but there are those elite level bigs that MSU has, you know, been in the – Isaiah Stewart up at Washington. I mean, Brandon McCoy, who went to UNLV. I mean, there's name after name. And these are guys that MSU's been circling. And listen, they've gotten a Deontay Davis, you know, a Jaren Jackson, obviously. Like, there have been hits in there, but not true. More often than not, they've missed on this type of player. But he is everything you could want in a modern-day center, especially in Michigan State system. He is every bit of 6'10", 240, super athlete. If you've watched any of his tape, the kid just sprints from end to end. He's got a little bit of a handle, and he's just a big boy. I mean, this is a dude who isn't, you know, necessarily known for his shot blocking ability yet, but the potential there is unbelievable. He kills it on the boards. I mean, you've got a real star potential on your hands here. And honestly, at this point in time, if you're the number one prospect in Canada, that means something. I mean, you might laugh and scoff at that, but that genuinely means something. Think about the names that have come out of Canada in the last 5-10 years. You're talking Andrew Wiggins, who was number one overall pick, great player at Kansas, Jamal Murray, who just got paid by the Nuggets. I mean, you want to make fun of him. Anthony Bennett was a number one overall pick. I believe he was from Canada as well. I mean, there are a lot of really good Canadian players. And MSU has honestly had a few throughout the years that have come from Canada. David Thomas on the national championship team was Canadian. You guys remember Mojo, Maurice Joseph.
Sure.
He was a Canadian as well. So Michigan State making some inroads there. But as a player, it's hard to not be very excited about Bouache, especially when like you said, you consider the fact that he could reclassify it to 2021 and be the type of non-ball dominant piece that every national championship team needs. So it's I can't even express how exciting this signing really is.
Yeah, if you want to – so the recruiting services didn't do an awesome job of covering him. Again, part of it is, you know, he's in a different country. So I would recommend checking out North Pole Hoops, which is the Canadian
awesome
equivalent.
Awesome name for a website, just for the record. I want that on the record.
Yeah, it's the equivalent for Canada of, you know, Rivals 24/7, you know, whatever your recruiting service of choice is. They do Canadian prospects only, and that's where you can go and learn as much as you want about him. And lots of tape, lots of stuff there. So get your fill. But he is undoubtedly a five-star any way you want to measure it. And I think the cool thing, one of the many cool things about him that I wanted to point out is he made his decision. You know, he's young, right? Like, he's 2022 class. You know, frankly, if you go to 24/7 arrivals and look at how many people have committed from that class in the country, they're less than 10. In Michigan State, he got Amani Bates and this kid. Like, not just like
pretty good.
It's like 10, like overall. And these are two of literally the best players in the class. Obviously, Amani Bates being number one, but this kid is not too far behind in the rankings. But he mentioned the thing I was going to say is he didn't want to lead any college coaches on, and he knew where he wanted to go, and Michigan State was it. Now, hats off to you, sir. A 16-year-old me would have gone on every official visit.
Absolutely. There what? Is no how I would have picked the five furthest places from home and gone to.
Well, let's
just to use every dollar I could.
Putting you on the spot. Let's give our combined. You get five official visits. Okay. Michigan State, I'm not even going to use because I know I'm going to go there, right?
Right.
Where are we going?
Oh man, that's a good one. I think
Arizona State, right?
Arizona State, staying out of the hot tubs, but I think I'd go to Arizona State. I think I would have to give a lot of thought to Hawaii. The Rainbow Warriors would be high on my list.
Smart.
I would think Miami would be real close to the top of my list as well. Southern Cal, UCLA.
Yeah.
Those are my four. And then my fifth one would be Duke. And the reason why I'd go to Duke is strictly to rip their hearts out on signing day.
Trolling.
That's it. It is this is as petty as petty can get. As we are all aware, this is a pettiness first podcast, and I fully support 16-year-old hypothetical me's decision to go there strictly. Like, the last two hats on the table are Michigan State and Duke. You better believe I'm doing the old reach for the Duke, grab the Michigan State. Yeah, I'm turning that knife. There's no question.
Let's take it a step further. I'm actually going out of my way to string Coach K along and taking as much time out of his days and weeks as I can to recruit me instead of other people. Like, I'm actually helping Michigan State now, right? Like,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we like that. That's a pretty good list. I would also consider, honestly, I would say LSU, I just want to see a football game there.
Well, like, that's a whole nother thing. If we're talking football, I'm going to Texas.
Yeah, I don't want to confuse it. Yeah, this is getting a little complicated. But you're right. Hawaii's a no-brainer, I think. UCLA, USC can't go wrong. So you mentioned, you know, we got to pick between the Arizona schools. Might hit them both up. Who knows while we're there.
Oh, listen, one's a car ride away. Yep. I think it's fair.
And then, who knows where else. I like any of the – Miami seems like a no-brainer for me, too.
Yep.
You know, yep. On the water. Makes sense. And you know what I might also, just for fun, I'd throw in, like, a team that I had played with in NCAA basketball, like a mid-major. But I wouldn't want to be a jerk to, like, the main – Black Panthers, though, or I think that's what they're called. Like, I
Black Bears.
Black Bears. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be a jerk to them and like string them along in any way. So maybe not on that one. But.
Yeah, I would stay personally away from the mid majors unless they're. You know where I'd go if I'm going to a mid major? Send me down to Florida Gulf Coast.
Okay. I would, good call.
Done. Deal. I'll take the trip. Tie my hands. I'll fly into Fort Myers and take a trip up there. Yeah, no problem. That would probably be it. You know where I'm not going? Kansas. Not going to Kansas. Not going to Gonzaga. Not going to, you know, Oregon. Although I've heard Oregon's really cool. Sorry, Sarah. Pretty sure Sarah used to live in Oregon, so I apologize.
Swag.
Sweat. That's a good point, and probably a bag as well.
Bags are cool out here, especially when
they're. I think that's a good qualifier though. Is I could be bought. There is no question I could be bought. 16-year-old me is dying to be offered a bag.
Absolutely. So back to our friend.
Anyways.
Boache, who is, not only is a better person than us, clearly, but but he made sure to shout out that Tom Izzo came to Canada multiple times, not just to see him play, but also to watch him practice. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if it's worth, I don't want to say it's correcting, but confusing. Like, people are saying this is the Imani Bates momentum. And both Max Christie and Boache made a point to say that his commitment really didn't do much for their recruitments. So, you know, I'm not taking anything away from the awesomeness that put MSU like back into the headlines of NCAA men's basketball. But Tom earned those two other five stars on his own. Like, he didn't need to sell them that Imani's coming. Like, he got these guys as their own. And that's,
I think it's fair to say that these two events could absolutely have happened independent of Imani Bates committing. I don't think it's this outrageous thing. Like, how is Michigan State getting five stars? Like, that's just stupid. If you're believing that storyline at this point, you're doing so because it fits, you know, your narrative. In all reality, Michigan State's been landing five stars at a good clip for the last 10 years, especially the last five. So that's kind of a lame, you know, storyline. So first of all, yes, totally agree with your point. It's 100% could be, you know, just through Tom. I do think there is an element of Imani Bates to this though. I mean, from things that I have read, you know, from Boache in particular, he is strongly considering reclassifying. They don't really talk about it, but like Canadian guys reclassify all the time. All the guys that I just mentioned, from a college perspective, that were Canadian, Wiggins, I believe Bennett and Jamal Murray all reclassified. Like, they do it really easily because of their school system. And even Boache said, my goal is to get to the NBA. Doesn't sound like a kid who's going to wait around till the 2022 class. I think that jump to 2021 is partially to play with Imani Bates. And to be honest with you, if you're a facilitator or if you're a role player, if you're at Max Christie, Boache, potentially Jay Nakins, who we'll talk about, you want to play with Imani Bates. Like,
yeah, of course.
There is a gravitational pull here. And I don't necessarily think it's this interesting question that's come around. Does this, you know, does Imani's commitment like launch Michigan State to a new level of blue blood stratosphere? Like, because there is, if we're being completely honest, there's another level beyond where Michigan State's at. And that's the Dukes, that's the Kentuckys, that's the Kansases. I think, but there's also the fact that Michigan State, to show how close they are to that, it's really 1B more than 2, in my opinion. Like, they're in the Champions Classic with those three teams for a reason.
Well, but Austin, it's they are one big boy trophy away,
yes, I think, from getting to that conversation. And that's just it. But can Imani Bates be what gets them there? I think from a recruiting perspective, Imani Bates, if we're being real, it does launch Michigan State into a level where, you know, they're missing out on the Vernon Carries of the world at a certain, you know what I mean? It's not that, it's 1 year ago that they were missing out on these guys and they weren't getting the Max Christies in Boache. But now, if you successfully do, even if you don't win a national championship, if you just have a successful run and Imani Bates, you know, gets drafted number one and is this Zion Williamson type impact, like, it might take you to another level. So while I definitely agree with you that, like, these two guys could have come to Michigan State no matter whether Imani was coming or not, I think there's for sure a level of gravitational pull that got them there and that could launch MSU to a whole nother level. So it's hard to express just how exciting this next stretch of Michigan State basketball could be.
So let me offer an interesting, I don't want to call it a counter, but just an interesting thought. This very clearly, speculation, of course, to me, very clearly to me, is the final push from Tom, right?
Yes.
He learned the new game, the new game being the world of one and dones. He watched John Calipari get one national championship with it. So does that formula work? I don't think so. It can. It's just harder. It's got to be a mix. And we've talked about it, veteran and one and dones. And that's hard. It's a hard mix. But the one and dones have to truly be like lottery one and dones.
Right.
And, you know, then there's also a little luck. But if this is his final push, and I say that because his kid was a freshman on the team, I got to think Izzo has three more years left in, right? And might walk out in the sunset either
after. At least three.
At least three, either after and maybe sooner. If you if you win a nat, like who knows? You might just say, thanks. I don't need, right. I want to go spend time with, you know, my family and like hang out in the Upper Peninsula and fish and, you know, like, and good on you. And that's all speculation, right? But I guess my point is, like, can the momentum continue under a new head coach? Maybe. Kansas has done it. North Carolina has done it. When they had their transitional phases from, you know, generational Hall of Fame head coaches.
Right.
But like, it'll just talk. I don't know how this pans out for the new coach, and I know I'm getting way down the line.
Yeah, you're getting several years ahead of us. But I mean, it is something that at his age, these questions are going to be asked. I think that's a really interesting point that you bring up, because I think it has a potential to be one of two things. Like you said, either the final push or this is the final form. You know, Coach K is significantly older than Izzo, and he's still going strong. Like, yeah, sure, he's probably a couple of years from, you know, a year or two or three from retiring. But, you know, if Izzo's planning to coach to that same age bracket, he's got a little ways to go still. So this might be his.
Yeah, Austin, I'll talk out
more of the final form than the other.
You're right. I might be. I'll talk out of the other side of my mouth. I'll counter myself. You taste. He's been chasing that taste for lion blood for so long. He's tasted it. He wants it again. And if you get it again, who's to say that he says, this tastes good. I would like to drink.
I like winning. Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, well, I think that's part of the unknown of the Imani Bates thing is, like, let's, you know, if we want to speculate and say he does end up coming to Michigan State, the recruiting aspect I talked about, like, maybe that doesn't impact, you know, his class, and Izzo could have done these things without him. But, dude, you better believe that's impacting classes after him, especially if he's, you know, a la Jaren Jackson, or, you know, which he's proven to be a very vocal and loyal individual. I mean, if he's out there pumping Michigan State's brand, if you're looking at the number one overall pick coming from Michigan State with possibly like other lottery guys, like there's no denying that Boache could be a lottery guy. I mean, Christie is as smooth a shooter as there is. You're talking about, you know, multiple first round pick, you know, and we just had it in Bridges and Jackson too. But you're talking about the potential to have, you know, how many really good Michigan State players in the league. And that just begets more and more momentum. And especially if guys can make money with this name, image, and likeness, like, you know, is might be building, like I said, that final form of the machine that more mirrors what Coach K has done in his later years at Duke than it does what Izzo's done so far. Like, it's, I think it's going to be very, very interesting, because that 22 class, it's funny, you look at it right now, and as we kind of transition into looking at the potential roster, like 2022 currently has two recruits in it. I don't think either of those guys are going to be in that class. So you're going to still have a full suite of scholarships to offer out for that class.
Yep.
Selling the fact that, you know, hey, look in your class. Look at these guys who are your same age. We're about to take them and we're about to go do some serious stuff. Do you want to be next up? Like, that's a message they can legitimately push now. And it's not something that many other places can do. So it's exciting.
Really interesting point. You know, do you want to talk 2021-22 roster situation? And then yes. I think that will open up the conversation to a really interesting point you just made, is how many openings there will likely be in that next year. And so now, as you mentioned, Izzo will have a full suite and potentially a lot of momentum to fill it. But there are a lot of questions on the interwebs. How could a Michigan State roster sustain so much talent if there is a scholarship limit of 13? Well, fear not. There is a way. And to all the Michigan trolls, Stephen Izzo is not on scholarship, so that solves that problem. and if you can have 13, you're looking at this list currently: Rocket Watts, Aaron Henry, Amani Bates, if he reclassifies, which we anticipate, Joey Hauser, Maddie Sissoku, Foster Lawyer, Max Christie, Gabe Brown, Malik Hall, Julius Marble, AJ Hoggard, Pierre Brooks, Marcus Bingham, Thomas Kiffier, and Enoch Bouache. I think I just named 15. That's more than 13. Mm-hmm. And potentially Jaden Akins, who we'll talk about in a moment, wanting to be joining the fun. But of those names, there are three that jumped out that could potentially go pro. Do you want to talk about those guys and what you think their odds are of taking their next step after this year?
Yeah, so I think there's a handful of ways that – so to put a little bow on what you just said, the word of the day is going to be attrition. There's no way, there is literally mathematically has to be attrition at this point. There's a handful of ways that that could take place, and we'll kind of go through them here. The first one, like you said, John, is guys going pro. Now, you look at that roster, and three names, like you said, really jump off the page as guys that are already either already considering going pro or are just sort of logical jumps, not only because of what they could do this year, but the roster situation the following. And then I think those three are Rocket Watts, Aaron Henry, and Joey Hauser. Now, to me, the most in that order, in my opinion, in terms of likelihood that they go pro, to me, Rocket Watts, guys, enjoy if we get it this year of Rocket, because I think it's over after this. When you look at the roster that's coming in after him with all those names we were talking about, that's a lot of guys that need the ball to be good. And Rocket is also a guy that needs the ball to be good. This year, he's going to get it. And he's going to get it in spades, for better or worse, depending on your point of view. And he's not going to have that opportunity a year from then. So his stock, theoretically, unless he really drops the ball, which I don't see happening, he had a tremendous second half of last year. No reason to think he won't build on that with this leadership role. His stock's going to be an all-time high. This kid's goal is to go to the NBA. I don't think anybody looked at him as a four-year player. So I would say he, in all likelihood, is gone after this year.
Yep.
The next player on that list is Aaron Henry. I think Henry is probably – so I guess if I put a number, I'd say 95% Rocket Watts is gone. I leave the 5% open because of the Amani Bates gravitational pull factor. He might just want to play with Amani. Who knows? Mm-hmm. The next one is Aaron Henry. Already put his name in for this year, so that already takes him up over 50% for me. Again, he is a little less likely to me only because he doesn't have basically he needs to take a step forward offensively to be a draftable player.
He'll have to this year. because of the
major. Exactly. And he's put in a very advantageous position this year to take to do so. Question is, you know, can he follow through on that? Assuming he does, you know, I think, again, if he has the type of season he needs to have to get drafted, he's going to go. He's already dipped his toe in. I think he's definitely, I think he is, for all intents and purposes, gone as well. I'd put his number, you know, around 80% to me personally. Then maybe a little bit lower, just again, in case he doesn't follow through on his promise.
He could go this year.
Right. And he could still go this year. You're right. That's with the understanding that, you know, he comes back and finishes his junior season out. Now, the third one for me is Joey Hauser. And I may end up looking like an idiot for this one down the line. But the reason I say he's the third most likely is part of just like an awareness factor. Like we know what we saw at Marquette. Like, this kid was talented. He averaged double digits despite Marcus Howard taking, you know, 400 shots every single game. You've heard nothing but good stuff about him. He plays a stretch four position that is valuable in the NBA. You know, there's a lot, measurably a lot to like about him, but we just haven't seen it at Michigan State. And I think there's something to be said for that. You know, if he comes out and has the season that, you know, he could have, he should have no trouble knowing the system or his role or anything like that. But the kid hasn't played competitive basketball in a year. So it's just another, will he perform to the level that will get him drafted?
I'll go full Kool-Aid.
I still put him over. Oh, I know. You're all in.
I'll explain why. One, he's positioned to succeed. He spent an entire practicing with his team. It's not like he just like transferred, you know, grad transfer in or something. Two, he was all Big East all freshman team. So he was already one of the top five players in a really strong basketball conference, right? It doesn't necessarily mean you're an NBA ready, but it tells me that, you know, you're pretty damn good. And then in this year's team, you know, I guess we are still pending a couple guys we'll talk about in a bit, but he will be likely, you know, getting a ton of PT, right? And we already mentioned his measurables, which are interesting to NBA players. But I think the final thing that makes it really interesting to me is that his age. He's 21 already. Like this guy.
That's a great point.
Needs to go now. Like I don't know if he has the opportunity, you know, to stick and to stay any out of the league, even if it's the G League. Like, you need to go and get sign and get money if you can. Now, again, we talk about name, image, likeness. You can make money that way, absolutely. But as we talk about your value in the NBA draft specifically is just so weighted by your age. And 100%. I think that's just a huge factor for him after sitting out, what is it, 2 years now? So of his college career. So something to consider. So let's say all three of those dudes take off. Well, now you have room for everybody that we mentioned prior. Plus, you know, then there's Jaden Akins, who is very much interested in joining Michigan State, one of the, you know, top two or three best players in the state of Michigan, point guard, four-star kid, considering top five, I think, is your top six that he has left. But for all intents and purposes, people are thinking it's, you know, Michigan State is the lean, but it kind of comes down to a numbers game, right? Like, he can certainly commit, but that doesn't mean much if there's not a spot. So,
well, here's the thing. I think that MSU is going to take his commitment. They wouldn't let him commit unless they were confident that there was something coming along or something they can't do to take that, because you're not going to let a kid, you know, honestly, if they didn't have a spot for him, he'd just be embarrassing himself, and you don't want to have that mark on you as a program. So it'll be, if he wants to come in and commit, then Michigan State is going to find a way to take him. And I think, like you said, they're going to have to carve out another spot if he does commit, even if all three of those guys go pro. Is that correct? Or am I misremembering?
Nope. So if all three of those guys go pro, Jaden Akins can join the team. No problem.
Okay.
13 scholarships, even with Imani Bates and Boache reclassifying.
So I think the interesting thing becomes if somebody wants to stay, like maybe Henry doesn't have the year he wanted to have. Maybe Rocket just wants to play with Amani, or, you know, something else comes up. Hauser gets hurt again. Who knows? You just never really know. I think that's when you can really get, and I don't want to speculate too much as to who it might be. But there are a handful of names that are that kind of jump off the page at me is I would think, and without getting into it, because it's just tough to do. I think it would be difficult to keep all of the current bigs that are on the roster on next year's roster. So that could be fours, that could be fives. You've got kind of a log jam down there right now. Even with Xavier Tillman leaving, you know, you're talking about Marcus Bingham, Julius Marble, Matty Sissoko, Thomas Kithier, Gabe Brown. If you know, you kind of play him anywhere, but there's a lot of names in there, and it's hard with a guy like Boache coming in, Amani Bates being more of a four or five. You know, it gets tight quick down there. So, it'll be very interesting to see. If I was putting odds on it, it would be someone from the front court that goes somewhere else. And then I know the popular name is not in the front court. The popular name everybody thinks is Foster Laura. I don't see that happening, even if they
unless it would be a grad transfer situation in which somebody graduate from Michigan State early, which is possible, as we've seen Xavier Tillman did it in 3 years. And Lord knows, if I could almost do it, anyone could do it. It's possible. But we don't have to speculate on that quite yet. Let's focus on fun stuff. Let's talk about this year's roster. Or you know what we were going to do? We teased it. You know, what does that look like for the year after? And I just want to quickly point out, we don't have to talk about names. But if a lot of folks that we think would go pro after that year we just talked about, there's probably seven dudes on scholarship still. Approximately, maybe six. So you're going to have to get a six or seven man class for that next year. So Izzo is just done with this one. It's probably going to be a mix of one and done guys and program guys like Pierre Brooks, Jaden Akins, and who knows.
I think the interesting thing there becomes, again, not only kids that are in that 2022 class, but additionally, you open up a lot of very intriguing grad transfer possibilities. I mean, you would think that if you're a grad transfer and you have the opportunity to come to a place like Michigan State and play with some really good players for a Hall of Fame coach, you know, that's got to be a pretty enticing landing spot, especially with all the PT available.
No kidding.
For just about anybody. And we've seen every single year, there are some really, really good grad transfers on the market pretty much year in and year out now.
Yeah. I mean, it's become its own, its own major offseason topic. Absolutely. But you know, let's put our positivity hats on and that there will be a basketball season this year. that is very much questionable. But I think it's worth noting is The Athletic pointed out today, maybe this just went past me or everybody, I'm not sure, but August 3rd is definitely the NCAA's deadline, but no one really cares about the NCAA's deadline because it's the NBA that you're declaring for. So technically anybody could say, you know what, I'm going back to college. And then just not, because what are they going to do, right? August 17th is the true decision date. That said, of the puzzle pieces remaining since we last spoke, Kareem Main has put his name into the NBA draft. So he is officially off the board as another Canadian prospect with NBA potential. Which leaves us, as we mentioned, Aaron Henry and Xavier Tillman. and we've talked about them ad nauseum with no real new information, but there are a couple other Big Ten decisions coming up that may be worth talking about that would completely, in my opinion, change the landscape of the conference. I'll let you chat about through both of them. Luca Garza and Kofi Coburn, what do you think? What do you think? Do you think they'll be around or what?
I think at this point, if it's an opinion thing, I think they both should. I think it would be the smart thing to do. They kind of fall into the same bucket, to be totally honest, as Tillman, Aaron Henry, where I think given the correct amount of time and ability to work out directly for these teams, you know, these are dudes that would probably go, and understandably so. Or maybe not, you know what I mean? Like you would be getting a little bit of a clearer picture. I think those are the guys that would really, really, really benefit from that. And they're just not going to get that opportunity. So to me, it makes all the sense in the world to come back and to get that opportunity to play, you know, potentially one more year and, increase that draft stock. I think the danger in that now for some of these guys is that, you know, there's no guarantee that there is a season.
Yep.
So I can see the other side of it too, where they're thinking like, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to come back. I'm going to forfeit another year of making money when the NBA is clearly going to do everything they can to play, even at the minor league levels. Like,
well, and are playing.
Am I just going to leave that on the table? Right. And they're playing right now. So like, you know, I think there's the other side to it too.
So that's the key, right? Is, you know, if you're on the fence, like the names you just mentioned, you're kind of waiting to see if this bubble thing works. We've seen it fail already with baseball.
Baseball didn't do the bubble.
Right.
They're just like, we're going to play normal games. And right. Nothing happens.
Which shockingly didn't work out. And
things have happened.
And then, you know, I think we're going to obviously see the same thing happen with football. But if the bubble thing that the NBA is putting on is working, then they can conceivably run it back and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
If you're one of these guys and you're saying, okay, the NBA can do a bubble. We know college basketball can't. It's just not possible. So, and I can't make any money off of my likeness, name, image, or likeness yet. It's kind of a no-brainer to at the very least get some signing bonus money, right?
Yeah.
Like, because that's what it's ultimately coming down to, is at least being on a team, playing potentially or not on the practice squad, even if you don't make the roster, like, or you risk not playing basketball for a full year competitively. And what does that do for you? I don't know. So I would actually anticipate Xavier going pro because of that. And if I don't think Luca will, mostly because I'm not sure how highly he's valued right now, rightly or wrongly. And Kofi has had an NBA body since he was before he got on Illinois' campus. So
since before he was born.
He came out ready, NBA ready.
He just ripped 7 feet, 280, and just jacked.
Poor mother.
I would agree with you. I mean, the only reason I would say Tillman, I'm still 50-50 on him. And I think that the thing that makes me hesitate on him is not necessarily what he is as a player. I think of those three players, he honestly has the maybe not the highest athletic ceiling, but I think his floor is by far the highest of the three of them. We see volatile guys, or we see guys like Coburn burn out of the league. You see guys like Garza are really kind of antiquated in today's game. They don't really exist in high numbers. Tillman, on the other hand, his position is extremely valuable. I think the difference is like, so I think professionally, you know, he's the most surefire of them. And I think that would reflect in where they would all be drafted if they all went. But you know, to me, it's more of the programs that they come from. Michigan State has a chance to be one of the five best teams in the country if Tillman comes back. They have guys that are successful seniors all the time. Xavier's got a family that he's got in East Lansing right now. So, and especially in a pandemic, do you, you know, you don't have to move them necessarily, but like, are you itching to go join an NBA team in a bubble and do all of those things? So, you know, I think there's extraneous factors with him that there might not be with these other guys.
Yeah.
And I also think that, you know, a team like a program like Illinois, like, listen, they had a nice season. They were about to make the tournament. I am obviously a Brad Underwood guy. I have been for a while. And Fran has put together a nice, you know, if not underachieving program at Iowa.
Man.
I just think they're more likely to leave those programs than Tillman is to leave Michigan State. And I think if Tillman was an Iowa player, I would say the same thing. I'd be like, I think he's out. So I don't know. There's just something to the program that Tom Izzo has that makes me think there's a chance, a higher chance that Xavier sticks around.
You know, and the last thing, let's cap this off. I don't want anyone, now it's not NBA money, but let's not be naive enough to think that our All-American is not taken care of. Okay. Now yeah. I'm not in any way saying that this is a shady program, but I think we've seen, it's just, let's just not be naive. It's not as if he is in the same college situation financially as maybe you and I were.
Which is no situation at all, which is a freelance pizza delivery gig, which I had for quite some time.
Which is sneaking into the bars and taking and begging for Miller Lights.
Which is Burnett's pomegranate.
So I mean,
Natty Light.
What are you gonna do? So I guess my point to anyone else is like, he has a family, he needs the money, is like, oh, no doubt. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure he would love an NBA paycheck. I just don't think it's realistic to pretend like he's not okay. Yeah. They're not okay. So with that, you want to take a break?
Yeah, let's do it. Hold on. Right. Let me time this up. See if I can do it.
All right.
Here we go. Man, we're back.
Does this work? I have to ask.
I think it works. I really enjoy not finding out. Like, I really, like, there's the thrill of me looking at the waveform and just being like, that looks like a lull, and putting the commercial in there and kind of just winging it. So we will never change. That's my solemn promise.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as I'm editing this podcast, it will never change.
Editing is a loosely used, you know, liberal
extreme
word.
I should say uploading this podcast. As long as I am the one uploading this podcast, my solemn promise is it shall not change.
All right. Do you want to talk huge news in football?
Yeah, sure. Let's freaking do it. So, huge news in football is there is no football.
Well, that and Michigan State, certainly one of the, maybe the I guess you would call canaries in the coal mine of why, you know, despite the best efforts of the staff or, you know, program, I would say, there have been multiple cases since we last spoke from the staff. And because of that, as of July 24th, the entire program went into a 14-day quarantine because a second staffer was diagnosed with COVID-19. And it's just the only way you can do it is shut it all down, you know, for 14 days and test every day. So that's what's happening. And Michigan State's not the only program. I believe at Rutgers, they had an issue.
Ohio State.
Was it Texas A&M? I can't remember. This is popping up unsurprisingly. It's just, it's impossible not to happen, right? The question is how on earth do you put together a season if this is it's just going to inevitably keep popping up. Regardless, the Big Ten has gone to all conference scheduling. The ACC has recently followed suit, bringing in Notre Dame. It's a matter of time before
the SEC did today as well, I believe.
Sure, you know, always late to the party. And I mean, and so we will see if they can get those games off the ground running. The Big Ten announced today that the first scheduled games would be the week of September 5th. I don't think that's a change for anybody, but in the conference, because I don't believe anyone had a week zero game. But we don't know what those schedules look like yet, if they even happen at all. So that's pretty big news. As of today, we're hoping for football. We're hoping that this can work. But the conferences, if this is going to happen, the conferences need to lay out some pretty uniform and strict guidelines to ensure that every team member and staff member essentially is within their own community bubble until the season's over. And unless everyone plays along, we won't have any games. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'll say two things. First is I'm really glad at the very least that MSU isn't trying to do the herd immunity thing that Clemson did early, where they just like didn't really change anything. They're like, yeah, they're positive. Who cares? They're sitting in their own room. Like, I'm very glad that they're willing to just shut it down and not try to like piecemeal it together, delay practices, and just let like people who haven't tested positive practice. I'm just glad that they took this no bullshit kind of approach. A very, yeah. Very, not that there is, you know, to a sane person, it's not like there's really another option, but in all reality, that we've seen plenty of people take other routes. So
buddy, Twitter will have you know there are a lot of options, some of which include, you know, doing nothing at all. And
yeah, that's been the preferred method for many.
So
I'd like to, you know, I'm glad that Michigan State is expressing some level of sanity in this entire insane situation. The second thing is, again, I don't want to be the Debbie Downer, but you, like, not only has it happened in baseball, it happened in like a week. You had teams flying and it took no time at all. Like, I think the Marlins played, you said they played two games, right?
Three games,
and they're already done. And now they've given it to a couple players on the Phillies. I saw they postponed some Phillies games. Listen, it's just not a reasonable ask. Like, these kids, again, aren't making money. They're on a campus at Michigan State. I believe the plan at MSU is still to bring back everybody. You're on a campus with 50,000 other people in like 2 square miles. It's not like a city where there's millions of people, but you're spread out over some miles or some land. It is a congregation. It is a COVID hotspot. Like, you couldn't make a bigger COVID hotspot than East Lansing. And we've already seen it with what's happened. I mean, it's, I don't want to be Mr. Negativity here, but
this is insane.
I just don't understand how it's possible. Like, if you just look at the facts, like, people shouldn't even be going back to school in general, let alone sweating all over each other. Oh yeah, and then they're going to go to class. Like, if I was a parent of a Michigan State student, I would be A, probably considering not sending my son or daughter back and doing everything virtual. And then B, even if they did go back, I don't want football players practicing with each other and then going to class with my kids. Like, that's insanity. So I just don't know, like, realistically what the percentage it could possibly be for doing anything other than like just practicing for a year. And I'll be honest, as much as I want football, and trust me, I dearly want football, even if it's 4-8 football, 4-6, whatever it would be now, a year full of just practicing against each other, a year full of basically bowl practices and zero losses on the scoreboard,
buddy,
would not be the worst thing for this Michigan State team. Let me tell you that.
You want to spitball some ideas? I'm going to spitball some ideas. You ready? Here it is.
I'm always ready.
After the inevitable failed experiment here of the conference playing, the Big Ten Network then schedules every 14 days, 14 teams, a taped game of inter-squad game. Green versus white at Michigan State, blue versus piss yellow in the Ann Arbor, whatever.
Blue versus corn.
Care. People will tune in and watch. I will watch that. It's a spring football game. I'll watch it. Why not? You know, and then you just do that a handful of times. It's not the best, but at least it's something.
It's football.
Sure.
Honestly, every team should be rooting to just have spring games that, every fan base should be so incredibly pumped by that idea. Think about how you feel coming out of a spring game every year. You feel like, oh, there's something here. If we just do these seven things, this team could win eight games. Like your hope meter is off the friggin' charts. And that, honestly, a year of just genuine hope, given what we've gone through in the last handful of months and years, like, how could there be anything better? Like, that is everything we could ever possibly need. And then from the player's perspective, like, you have a chance to get a year with the playbook without actually having to go out and frickin' just have your heads beaten in and lose games. Like, to me, that's the ideal situation for a program like Michigan State specifically. Maybe not for every program. For programs like Ohio State, that would suck because you have you're actually pretty darn good. I don't know if you guys knew that, but Ohio State's going to be good again. Well, really, really, guys.
Yeah, I think there's no question that the NCAA will change the rules, you know, when and if a season doesn't happen on how many scholarship players a team can have, because there will be guys that want to come back, you know, who didn't get to play their senior years. You know, there's a new class of freshmen coming in. You know, it's 85s. You're going to have to increase it, right? You're just going to have to. So, which segues us into Mel Tucker's first class, which, frankly, his first class might be a meld of multiple classes, right? You know, in this scenario. So, you know, realistically, and we could be wrong, you know, maybe Michigan State does play a game on September 5th. Do they play an entire conference schedule? That would be awesome if they did. I don't see how, based on the Miami Marlins situation. But which, actually, I'm going to segue. You watch The Office pretty religiously, right?
Sure do.
Okay. When Pam says, basically when the baseball teams were just like pretending everything was fine and just like went for it, like full send. And
yeah, love it.
They went one weekend before things went sour. It reminded me of the quote when she says, when a child gets behind the wheel of a car and runs into a tree, you don't get mad at the child. They didn't know any better. You blame the adult who got in the passenger seat and said, drive, kid. I trust you.
Right.
Like, I don't blame the players. Like,
no.
They did, you know, they played. And then, what? Shockingly, the car crashed.
Uh-huh.
And like, how could we have seen this coming? But
if only there had been some way to see this coming.
There was any sign that this would have happened. But I digress.
Alas.
You know, after Michigan State plays the first game, wins, the rest of the season is canceled. We technically win the division. Mel Tucker goes undefeated in his first year, going 1-0. He will have the opportunity to bring in another class. So in all real, like, there could be realistically 6 months to 13 months between when Mel Tucker actually coaches his first game.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
So, like, you could put together. Now you're in the same boat as freaking everybody, as it relates to. Yes. As it relates to no on-campus visits or difficulty with official visits. Like, we talked about this. Mel and Colorado's new head coach were the only coaches that had the Power Five coaches that we know of that had the disadvantage of having zero on-campus recruiting opportunities. Well, with this new class, everyone will have that situation. So now it's a level playing field. How can Mel Tucker do in that environment? Probably better than what we've done today.
Yeah, I think it's so, you know, one of the things to remember too is that, like, you really can't get dealt a worse hand than he was dealt. Like, I mean, and I'm, you know, you don't want to look for excuses or anything like that, but truly, I mean, this guy came over, was hired out of kind of nowhere in February, which is just the worst possible time to get hired as a college football coach, and then basically has a month where you can actually see people, you know, call it a month generously, and then all of a sudden it's a global pandemic. So to say that he is, you know, because a lot of the common talk recently is that, yeah, he's underachieving. You know, he hasn't landed a recruit in X amount of time, all of this stuff. And while there, that is, you know, timeline wise true, I mean, how can you fault this guy? The fact that he has 12 recruits in the class and is in these conversations for some other players that are being heavily recruited by other big schools with established coaches and programs, like, you can't hold it against him at this point. But I think it's going to be very interesting because, like you said, if the first class is actually two classes or a class and a half, if whatever you want to put it, like, he is now given almost not like a get out of jail free card, but like the ability to, you know, get some extra time, maybe see some of these kids in person and like have established a little bit more of a program than, you know, he has to date. I think it could be, he would definitely set the record for longest time from hiring to actually coaching a game, which would be pretty wild. Just another record for Michigan State.
I don't think that's really? That would actually go to coaches that were hired in December.
Good point. Great point.
So the real winners here are Rutgers, who have gone, you know, where the Schiano man is just reaping the benefits of that salary without actually having to put a product on the field, which frankly no one wanted to see anyway. So
yeah, this is kind of the best case scenario for Rutgers, to be honest. This is, again, it's, you don't want to actually see him play football. It's like the off season. It's a permanent off season. Honestly, if you're a Michigan fan, why do you want to play this season? Like, you are in absolute heaven right now where you can convince yourself, oh yeah, Joel Milton is the guy of the future. And da 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 da. Like, why risk being wrong? Like, don't you just want to be like, to just live in this world? It's a wonderful like mind state to be in. Like, just permanently happy and optimistic. Like, there's so little to be so genuinely optimistic about. Like, just enjoy it. Like, I don't know, just enjoy it.
I do know this about Michigan: if no games are played, and everyone just kind of puts this season as a moot point, they will
co-champs.
They will ask the Big Ten for a Big Ten East co-champs trophy.
I want to know more than anything is, will their yearly interview numbers suffer in a year with no college football?
I hope not.
Will Jim Harbaugh lose followers on Instagram? I mean, these are the things that they're writing on their banners now. I just wonder.
It's important to them. And if it's important to them, you know, God bless them. And we're obviously making fun of their latest flex question mark. Jim Harbaugh's having however many Instagram followers. I don't know how that would be appealing to anyone.
Anyone at all.
Especially a 16-year-old. But whatever. Michigan running out of reasons to flex, clearly.
The 1,000 interviews and articles written per year was just some tremendous shit. Like, just like remarkably Michigan shit. Like, to talk about all the articles that are written and not talk about the fact that everything past October says, can Jim Harbaugh ever win the big one? Like, just leaving that out. is just a tremendous, tremendous spin zone. Like I honestly, I'm kind of like, you know what? Good on you for just completely choosing to ignore facts. That might as well just be like Michigan shit on more than anybody else after October. Like that, you might as well say the same thing. It's unreal.
Huge proponents of the all press is good press.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really, really, really feeling themselves there. With that, you know, we have been very, very, I guess you'd say, cynical about the chances of a season. But, you know, we're going to pretend there could be, and because there's a prop bet out there on which team could win the most games. And there's some obvious ones, but there's a lot of money to be made, too. Do you want to go through your favorites?
Yeah, in an extremely niche sense, of course, you mean there's a lot of money to be made because some of these are hysterical.
well,
so
pays out. You might be surprised to hear that.
I'm shocked. So you look at this, and the easy favorite for obvious reasons is Ohio State at -250. I still think that's the safest bet. They're the favorite for a very good reason. And I would expect, I mean, they are every bit a national championship type contender year in and year out. And honestly, there's not a lot of competition for them, you know, maybe aside from Penn State in their division this year. And, you know, just to me, that's the obvious choice, but that's why they're the favorite. After that, I think, you know, your next two are Penn State and Wisconsin, both at +700, followed by Michigan at +1100. Of that kind of next tier, to me, Wisconsin, and I'm probably stealing this from you, John, but Wisconsin to me seems like easily the best. Just because of the division and kind of where they are as a program comparative to their schedule.
But that gap for me from Ohio State -250 to Penn State, Wisconsin +700 is massive. And I'm just shocked it's that wide, candidly. But yeah, I mean, beyond them, I think the only other. So remember, there may not actually even be like a Big Ten championship game. And this was just which Big Ten team will win the most games. So you got to go with either obviously Ohio State or just pick a reasonable Big Ten West team, right? And just kind of hope for the best. And you got to pick the Big Ten West team with the easiest crossover schedule, which we don't know yet. So making these bets might be dumb already, but hey, we'll gamble.
That's the point of gambling, though. You're not supposed to be smart when you gamble. That defeats the purpose.
MSU, for what it's worth, is +10,000. Not good by any stretch.
Well, John, you laid out a formula for me, and I think you said it earlier, that that could pay out.
It could. It's absolutely true. And I would like to think that Mel Tucker rolls out not his offense, but just like a goal line rugby type of offense because the season doesn't matter and just like is trying new insane shit and just taking everyone by surprise and shock. And
the triple option.
Yeah. No, I mean like rugby, like you must lateral on plays. Like you throw a pass to a wide receiver, you better be looking to lateral, bud. Like there's get rid of
them's the breaks, kid.
It's rocket football, but like you gotta keep it moving. And hey, that might we could be changing the entire landscape of college.
Well, listen. Let's say that by some miracle there is an opening week of college football. Michigan State plays Northwestern, and they win, and then the season gets canceled because of some enormous coronavirus outbreak or something worse, like an earthquake. Who knows? At this point, I'll believe anything.
Expecting it.
And then Michigan State all of a sudden is sitting there atop the division at 1-0. Mm-hmm. Season's over. Technically, they have won the most games in the Big Ten, and all of a sudden you're a millionaire. I'm trying to find a flaw.
Yeah. I'm logging in to Bovada.
Buying it. That's someone remembering watching Hunter Johnson play quarterback right there in real time, folks.
He stinks.
He stinks.
So,
and to think I believed.
So that transitions us really nicely, because you've heard our, pessimism on the season, which I want to call out one thing I saw on the interwebs. A certain sect of folks are saying that because you're pessimistic about what you're seeing, it means you're rooting for the virus or rooting for no sports.
Trey Clavis.
I can't even wrap my head around the insanity of that. Like, I couldn't want sports more. A welcome distraction from the reality. I'm also realistic and understand science to a minimal degree, which should be enough to see how this isn't going to work.
It's enough to be dangerous.
But with that, we're seeing a lot more NCAA and Madden games being played. And we took a look at MSU Madden ratings that came out and wanted to talk through about some people who may have been under or overvalued in this year's game. We don't have to go through all of them. There are quite a few. Any jump out to you, though? Any big hitters?
Well, I think I'll be honest, in terms of if we do overrated and underrated,
yeah.
I think there's a handful of underrated guys. I wouldn't say almost all of them are underrated. But especially the one that jumps out at me is, well, I'll start with the most perfectly rated, and that's Kirk Cousins. No one's ever been more of an 82 than Kirk Cousins. Like good enough to be a starter, but he's not going to win you anything unless there's something else around.
But that's
so he's the most perfect 82.
So let's talk about his 82. For context, that's tied for 13th best quarterback
perfect
in the game, right?
Perfect.
And we like to wax poetically about how Kirk has just made he is the king grift, king bagman.
Oh yeah.
King payday. We bow.
Lord of the bags.
Like the stunt he pulled to get paid. And Madden, frankly, you're right. They're right. He's probably the 13th best quarterback in the NFL, which is great. Amazing.
I was going to say, I even think that, to me, that's the perfect number. But I even think that most people would say he's lower than that. So it's almost like I think he's perfectly rated, which means people probably think he's overrated. So I think that that's fantastic to me. I would say if there's an underrated player in here, I think honestly, I'm a little surprised Kari Willis is only a 74.
Me too.
Kari Willis had a really, really nice rookie campaign on a really good Indianapolis Colts defense. And typically you'd think that type of thing gets rewarded. And I'm sure that the jump for him was like 15 points or something crazy, because he was just a fourth round rookie last year. But to me, I would have thought he might have jumped up a couple more points, maybe not too much farther. But that one, that was a little bit surprising.
Yeah, especially because, you know, for the context, it's ranked 29th best at the position. And, you know, I don't know, safeties, you know, position, I couldn't name all of them, but he had a really nice year. Now, you're right. It just surprised me with the context of being ranked 29th. It seemed unfair, but we'll go to bat for our Spartans, and that's why. A couple other big names on here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Le'Veon Bell, 87, tied for 11th best running back. He'll be upset about that, I'm sure.
He's already been upset about that.
Probably deserved, right?
See, here's the thing. I love Le'Veon Bell. He's the Draymond for me of the NFL of Spartans, where if he played for another team, I'd probably hate him. If he had gone to Ohio State or if he had gone to some other school, I would be like, this guy will not shut up.
This
and he's just annoying more than anything else. Le'Veon, however, is definitely better than an 87. But it's more that he's come, like, at one point in time, he was by far the best running back in the league. Like, he's superhuman. Like, this dude is crazy talented, and I don't think anybody would disagree with that. But the thing is, he 2 years ago, like, was out of the league. But yeah, he didn't play 2 years ago. And then last year, he was like super pedestrian with a bad Jets team. So, like, I realize it's supposed to be individual statistics, but, like, what does he have to fall back on aside from numbers that are 3 years old right now? To be honest, 87. And it's not like he was ever particularly explosive. He was always kind of like this patient, good, like runner, which honestly could benefit him, like, as he moves forward in his career. But there's also the side where it's like, yeah, but what if he just never gets, like, he was never explosive. So what if even more of that explosion, like, goes mm-hmm. away? So 87 honestly is doing him pretty, like, that's pretty good. Although I don't know what players are ahead of him, and I feel like that was part of his beef. There are some dudes on here that should not be ranked ahead of me, and he still deserves his spot on the like, he deserves to be ranked ahead of, you know, if there's any questionable ones on there. But 87 seems about right. I'll put it this way: I would gladly take an 87 Le'Veon Bell on my Madden team.
Absolutely. I had some beef with Brian Hoyer's 62 overall, which is tied for 56th best quarterback. I'm going to go to bat for the journeyman. I don't see 55 better quarterbacks in this league. After watching David Blau start for the Lions this year. Like, I don't know.
This is late July pandemic content, folks. We're worried about the 55th best quarterback in the NFL being Brian Hoyer.
Getting mad online about it.
I support it. I also think that Hoyer, like, the fact that he's still getting signed by teams despite, like, being at best in the 50s of quarterbacks, it's just a real testament to him.
Okay.
I think he deserves, like, I think, like, Michigan State quarterbacks, like, we talk about the grifters, man alive.
Who did it better? Honestly, I mean, the careers have to pan out, but, like, Brian Hoyer is a real conversation with Kirk Cousins as a better grifter. Like,
yeah, I mean, if it's on grifting alone, I see the argument. If it's on bags, there's no argument between Cousins and literally anybody else. He is the bag.
But dude, Brian Hoyer, you know, he's not been hit in the head at all.
Like, that's okay. Now, if we're talking quality of life and general, yeah, like,
certainly
effort to bag, like, if we're mm-hmm. talking about that correlation,
mm-hmm.
it might be Hoyer, because there's been, you could make an argument he's living the absolute dream. Like even you talk about a guy like Chase Daniel still had to play some games, you know.
Yeah,
Brian's been more or less chilling for the last, I don't know, 9 years. Sitting behind Tom Brady, who, if he likes him and doesn't feel threatened by him, is not going to push to replace him. I mean, it's a beautiful thing for Brian. He's had 10 times the career I think anybody could have predicted for when he was at Michigan State.
I'm going to take Brian's legacy new level, okay? I'm going to say, without any information, he's the reason that Brian Lewerke was brought back to the Patriots today and re-signed.
I'm willing to sign up for this train of logic, regardless of where it takes me. I'm a fan.
He wants Brian to follow in his footsteps, you know, like make a really, really, really great income. Do it just like me, man. And I'm going to put in a favor with Billy Belichick and just follow my lead. Carry the clipboard like me, bud.
Yep.
You're in good hands.
You're right here in your left hand. Never, like, don't swag yourself out. Don't look intimidating. You're going to be just fine.
Stay low. Stay low, buddy.
That's right. Stay out of the way. When they're yelling at you, just look straight ahead. I think it's a great idea.
No eye contact. Never establish.
No eye contact. The key is it's like a dog. When you have to have them break eye contact first. Always break eye contact first, Brian. Always.
Brian, I just see Hoyer giving him all these amazing tricks that have legitimately led him to be on these rosters for 10 years longer than he should have been.
He's like, first, they love Dunkin' Donuts. Make sure you're bringing that in. Second,
exactly.
Do not intimidate the starting quarterback. I think it's flawless logic.
Here is Kid's favorite desserts. Make sure to send some of their way. You know, get on their good stuff.
From time to time, Brian, that is all.
So with we're talking video games. We'll wrap up by letting you know. I think we may have announced it. I can't remember. But if there is no season, we will be playing our season and streaming it. Austin via NCAA 14. Hell, you might even download the mod that the patch that gives us the current rosters. I don't know.
We're gonna see. Again, you guys all know my uploading skills. It's a crapshoot. But I would love to. Either way, we'll probably sim it, or maybe I'll play it if we're feeling bored. You know, who knows? We're going to figure this out, though. And we will play or sim the actual what the season was supposed to be. That's my promise. We won't do, like, the abbreviated Big Ten season. We'll do the BYU. We'll do Miami. We'll do the real deal. So
we might even do
both. I'm excited to – who knows? I mean, why not? But, buddy, do we ever.
We'll stream it. You know, I may even commentate while you're playing. And
it's a great idea.
We'll let you guys join. We might even get the audio right. And then
– listen, John, you've said a lot of crazy things on this pod at one point in time or another. But that one might take
the cake. We often say and guarantee things that don't follow through. So I'm not too worried about it. But
fantastic point.
And we might even do breakdowns of the actual game and share out box scores so you can follow along, you know, pretending that it did happen.
Let's make more promises. I'm in.
Just ask us what you want. We'll say yes. Will we do it? I don't know. We're not very good at doing literally anything.
Yeah. Just know that there's a decent chance you're going to get let down. But as long as you're comfortable with that, so are we.
Family's going to protect it. So.
Same. All right, awesome. Well, guys, thanks as always for sticking with us. Hopefully we'll have some new good news in the near future to come back and talk about. Obviously a lot of decisions to be made here by both recruits and current MSU players alike, so when they're back, we'll be back. So thanks again as always for sticking with us, guys, and we'll catch you later.
See you.